Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another one of our Monday streams. I guess this is technically Evelyn's corner still. I don't know if
Yes.
we're still calling it that, but
It's still my stream because I had to ask you to come on to it.
oh yes, that is true. It is still this is Evelyn's stream. There are many streams, but this one is hers.
Yeah. But there are not many other like it.
No. I'll get the normal YouTube stuff out the way. We are still somehow monetized after our previous streams, especially the Small Hat one. A lot of people were amazed by that one, but so you can still become a member, you can still send super chats and all that good stuff. But the best way to support us, and the way I always recommend, is to send a donation via Streamlabs, which takes the smallest cut. So that'll be the pinned comment, and it is also in the video description. We've also got our usual stuff in the video description too. Another quick shill, we are 2 weeks out from Nomos Birmingham. If you're in the UK and you still haven't bought a ticket and you'd like to come, we have limited the numbers. I've got a full confirmation, the contract is signed, so there are only, I think, 8 tickets left now. So we are likely going to sell out.
Yes.
Which is probably a good thing, because I've only just learned today that in cabaret format the rooms are slightly smaller than I thought. So 100 was actually slightly too many people. so that's that might be a slight happy accident. So
The more you know.
they did mislist it slightly. But yes, that will be happening on the 26th if you're in Birmingham. Anything else we have to show? We do still have the Substack, if you guys want to read there. We've had a couple of articles come out over the past week or so. I finally got my American Disease article out. You got one out about Ukraine. I'm working on still about 10 more on the back end I have notes for, so there'll be some of those coming out over the next couple of weeks, I'm sure. And I'm working on obviously my speech for Nomos Birmingham, but I think that's all the shilling. Evelyn, do you want to introduce today's topic, or
I was going to say that I might try doing more sort of slightly more short form posting on Substack and may also slightly nick Prudentialist's and Morgoth's idea of posting like a weekly summary kind of thing, so that not just on say Telegram or Twitter or whatever, anyone that's on the Substack mailing list through that, they will get an aggregate of like everything that's been out that week or everything that's been out that month or something like that.
okay, that's a good idea.
I don't know. It's if we get to the point where we are actually churning stuff out a bit more once we've not got events to organise and other things to deal with, that it might be useful. I'm not too sure. But yeah, this evening we're going over the yearly report from Hope Not Hate, or Cope Not Hate, as I think we're going to start calling them. Their
Yes.
State of Hate 2022, subtitled On the March Again.
State of hate. I guess the narrative that they're going for, the overarching narrative, is that the organization of political alternatives was essentially routed by a lot of the short-circuited by the pandemic stuff. It was supposed to be by the lockdowns. But out of it, they're very annoyed that broad kind of establishment skeptical coalitions have emerged out of the lockdown stuff and out of the anti-lockdown stuff. And as we're talking about off air, it's very interesting when we read all of this to keep in mind if this is genuine or not, if they are genuinely worried, or this is still just them trying to manufacture whatever consent that they need to go even further.
Well,
Because even if these people and groups didn't exist, I imagine they'd make them up.
Yes. Well, we'll get into that later on, possibly. But there is also a couple of points I noticed earlier on while having a quick glance through it. It almost follows like the Tory party line on certain issues in a really strange way, which is a
Yes, it
very
does.
strange position for an organisation that is meant to be ostensibly leftist come from.
There's a lot of extremely interesting language in this, as we'll come to. But where do you think we should start?
I don't. I think we could maybe take a brief look through the intro page because there was a couple of sort of useful insights to understand, or at least question, why why does this document exist? Who's it for? And what use does it actually service to them?
Okay, do you want to start it off there then?
It starts off with a message from the, I think Nick Lowell seems to be the guy that's written most of it. There's a larger team of writers, but I'd imagine they're all just interchangeable, progressive sort
Yes.
of grogs, so there's no need to go over them.
No.
Welcome to our State of Hate 2022 report, the most comprehensive and analytical guide to the state of far-right extremism in Britain today. This year's report comes in at a time when the UK, and indeed the world, is in flux. Just as we appear to be moving beyond the COVID pandemic, people are facing a severe cost of living crisis that will cause intense hardship for many, and at a time when our own belief and trust in democracy is under strain. Russia has invaded its democratic neighbour Ukraine, pitting two diametrically opposed forms of government against one another and uniting the world in condemnation of Vladimir Putin.
Getting it in early, eh?
Yeah, right into the geopolitical talking points about making sure that people recognize Ukraine as a democratic nation.
Isn't
But they
it
just.
amazing the coincidence of as soon as we have the moving beyond the COVID crisis, as they say, that there's this immediate cost of living crisis. Isn't that an amazing coincidence?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a couple of small things like talking about how far-right terrorism remains a growing threat too. In 2021, 18 people were convicted of far-right terrorism-related offences, a 50% increase on 2020. So it is. There's been six more.
It's such like a tiny, and I guess they would include very minor orders, like banning orders, or people being prosecuted for violating banning orders.
Yeah, there's a bit of that language further on, but I think that's at the point you can begin to understand what this is really for as you go further into it. When they talk about one of the most disturbing developments to come out of 2021 is how the further right, be it populist radical right or traditional far right, has overcome obstacles to spreading hate over social media by literally creating their own platforms. Far-right activists and commentators can now speak to hundreds of thousands of like-minded people without any restrictions. This may provide the far right with a better ability to exploit the economic and political difficulties Britain faces. See, there is not just only here the very obvious glaring point of them being like, oh, they're doing their own things and being independent, those bastards.
Yeah.
The focus on not just right wing, but far right. It sounds to me like it's not, if you're a hardcore leftist, you don't really care what the far right's saying because you hate everyone who's right wing. So
Yes, it.
why is Hope Not Hate a leftist institution, as far as we're told, writing in the tone of someone who would say maybe be a conservative and would be considered, someone who might lose power if the far right was to rise? Because of course it would
There's.
be an opposing leftist force.
There's precious little in here about the mainstream Conservative Party, too.
Of course.
It seems to have been fully integrated into the narrative of what is good and better. That the mainstream Conservative Party in the COVID era, even with all the hysteria that goes on about Boris, and even with how unpopular he is, with the lockdowns mostly, even then there is no real criticism here of like sitting ministers. There's little bits about immigration and I think Priti Patel, but they pay lip service to it. It's kind of amazing actually how little there is in this. This is very much. When you look at some of the later language in this, they are throwing the kitchen sink at everyone who is a political outsider. That's what this seems to be meant. And they are going across the spectrum, it seems. In fact, they even talk about it later on about the fact that this reaches across the aisle. This seems to be like the integration paper. As much as this used to be, Hope Not Hate used to be seen as this like almost like pseudo-Marxist kind of Guardian reader. It's where they get a lot of their numbers and figures and narratives from. But if you read this and if you read what isn't here, it's almost more interesting than what is here because what isn't here is criticizing the quote unquote mainstream right.
But either word austerity is not in this document, not in a sense
No.
that's critical of it anyway, not just as a general use of the term, but in the way that Again, if you were to read something from the Labour Party, there would be a direct mention of an austerity government and how that's some evil or hateful thing to do. But
Let me
that's.
I've done a few searches in this, and
Can I obviously can I quickly go over one paragraph on this page before we start jumping about,
yes.
because I think it's quite important. We want this report to be a resource for all. Given its unique nature, to say nothing of its comprehensiveness, we would like to think it helps inform and direct the work of all those who want to build a better, more cohesive and progressive Britain and British society. The in-group rhetoric's really kicking off there.
It is, yes.
For those who don't know, I think that maybe it's worth mentioning that these documents will essentially get handed round HR organisations, schools, universities, colleges, all sorts of places, as essentially a guidebook of like, well, if you see something that's in this book and this book says it's bad, then you have to report them. And that perpetuates the very stuff they then go on to talk about in this.
It's yes. It's bizarre. Like I said, it's bizarre how mask off some of this is. I guess you'd have to be in the know to notice it, but it really does like wear that on its sleeve that they are coming out and being like, we are the establishment essentially, and you are a good person and you will listen to us, and everyone outside of this little sphere is not a good person and you should not listen to them. And it's very odd because it's not traditional leftist language, a lot of it.
No.
It's not, well, what we consider traditional far left language. It's not like the photographed, daily worker, photocopied daily worker stuff.
Yeah.
There's no use of the word comrade in here.
I mean, there's one I caught earlier on, and the next page has a couple of block lists, and one of them's talking about 18 far right supporters were convicted of terror related offences, which is a number from earlier, which basically means that
Yes.
someone downloaded a PDF of the Anarchist Cookbook on a college computer and got in trouble. But the other bit
Yes.
here,
Well,
democracy, the first point, faith in democracy is low, and political scandals such as Partygate are eroding trust in the political system. No one other than people who actually work for the Conservative Party believe Partygate influenced public opinion in any way, shape, or form.
they're also saying that the political scandals, it's almost like they're running defense for it.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Is like they're willing to be transparent about lockdown having some sort of pressure, but then it's Partygate that's eroding trust somehow. It's very.
There's a few, like I said, I've done some quick searches here. There's a few, I'm not going to jump around the document, I just want to mention some numbers here. There are nine mentions of the term NHS. I think almost a seven out of the nine are about COVID conspiracists and attacking the NHS. Nowhere in here does it try and say that the Conservative Party is attacking the NHS. There is none of that like Labour Party line stuff, which you would usually expect from that kind of this kind of document. They'd usually take the big jab and say, the hatred is a response to all these bad Tories, and they're going to take away our NHS. That narrative isn't in here, which is fascinating. There are also, when I searched for it, there's nine mentions of the word NHS, post-COVID, but there's 27 uses of the word elite in this. 27, and the first is in the kind of COVID conspiracies bit, but the first use of the term elite comes in this first little intro section where it says COVID and conspiracies there, and it says a third of people believe that elites in
Yes.
Hollywood, governments, the media, and other powerful institutions are secretly engaging in large-scale child trafficking and abuse. That number actually changes later on. To I think like over they mentioned this 35%, they mentioned 50%. But this exact phrase, they talk about elites in Hollywood, governments, and the media, and other powerful positions are secretly engaging in large child trafficking and abuse. That sentence is repeated, I think, about five times in this document. Like it is, they are hammering home the idea that what being hateful is undermining the elites and belief that the elites are in some way unaccountable, in some way damaging, and in some way carrying out acts of evil. That seems, like I said, there are, you know, three times as many mentions of the word elite than the word NHS in this document, which, considering who it's supposed to come from, is exceptionally telling
Yeah,
and
well, it's just that
relatively worrying.
Morgoth's actually turned up to have a watch because I think we'd had a brief discussion about this telegram before, but I think it's just interesting to consider that this is a document that comes from an institution that he's saying is a neoliberal NGO. For the most part, it probably is. But that it's attacking the far right and it's doing what the Conservative Party, i.e. the current elites for the most part, would functionally need it to do. You know, this is exercising people like us, or excising, sorry, people like us out of the right. It's not left punching right, it's right punching right.
Yes, and he's right about them being a neoliberal NGO, but they're not sold as that. They're sold as this Owen Jones leftist activist organization. It's interesting the water that they're carrying essentially for the Conservative Party here. Anyway, do you want to move on to the next bit?
Yeah, I'm just sort of there's the danger ahead, all the big headings, and they start to get into, as you say, there is a much larger focus compared to the previous years of these, which I never remember them being anywhere near as long. I think there were maybe 30,
No.
40 pages, if not maybe 50, 60 at the most. But there is a larger focus on conspiracy theories, which again, through if you look at the what the Conservative Party is doing with the Online Harms Bill, they are talking about conspiracy theory as a harmful online material. So again, I see it is no
Yes.
coincidence that this has a large focus on conspiracy theories and platforms where in which conspiracy theories are being proliferated without direct challenge, or they aren't being banned.
There's again, if you look at the danger ahead section, there's a bit here where it says Brexit no longer defines our identities. That ex-British National Party and UKIP voters have switched to the Conservative Party in 2019 have become disillusioned with Boris Johnson. That Partygate and government hypocrisy during the pandemic have increased distrust in the political process more broadly. Whilst migration is once kind of political, basically what they're saying is, isn't it ghastly that these people are leaving the Conservative Party again? What is implied in that sentence is that people voting conservative is good, and now them distrusting the power structure is bad. Which again, it's the carrying of water for the mainstream Conservative Party, which this, if you look at it on a surface level, this shouldn't be doing. But it's very clear what this document was designed to convey to people, which is, for God's sake, reintegrate yourself into the establishment. There's also the bit where it says radicalization of the conspiracy scene. It says we have also seen sections of the far right successfully meld with the broader conspiracies movement, which often places less emphasis on traditional political divides and instead focuses on a shared populism and identity as truth seekers in opposition to a perceived ruling elite. Look at what that says there. Broader
Well,
movement. Putting aside political divides, focusing on the elite.
do you know what, this is something, if I hadn't already written the speech I had for Nomos, I would be grabbing sections like this and basically writing a piece on why the Tory party or why mainstream conservatism is terrified of right-wing vanguardism or
Yes.
populist vanguardism, because that's the process that they're describing there. Is people identifying themselves as truth seekers and being like, well, let's go fight the elites, let's go change over the ruling class. That is, a core aspect to that. I find it very interesting that that's the way they're going about calling it out. They're not just saying, oh, well, it's going to cause Hitler.
Yeah, it is. It is what they're saying is that, again, they're positing the idea that traditional political divides are being put aside to focus on the idea of an elite class. It's counter-Marxism is what it is. They are counter-Marxist signaling very, very heavily there, which is, again, interesting to see from someone like Hope Not Hate, because if you look at the more traditional anti-SJW formulation of how they would respond to this, they'd just be complaining that these people are leftists, and they very clearly aren't. leftists. These people are not leftists. They are not leftists at all, and they are certainly not Marxists.
I do love just the some of they get into like some of the really silly language of many of those who remain have progressed. This is a further part of the same section on conspiracy theorists, and they're talking about the sovereign citizens and all these different aspects of it. Many of those who remain have progressed far enough down the rabbit hole to believe in so-called super conspiracies, which bundle together multiple conspiracies into a grand overarching conspiratorial narrative. That's called history.
It's super conspiracies. You can't form a narrative, that's our job. I'm reminded of the bits. I don't know if you want to go past it, because there's a lot of here about Boris Johnson has failed to deliver, blah blah blah. Very, very boilerplate, but very, very kids glove stuff about the Tory party there.
I'm gonna say the same thing I said to you when I was looking through this before. I just love that it's like the salt of the earth. Like they're trying to insult these people, but like they, and to some extent they probably couldn't be any more humble. I mean, like that dude's obviously an ex-con with the tats and been that size, and then you've just got like workies and other people, and it's not. It's not, they don't look like the group of either professionally groomed and tarted up, NGO funded protesters, nor do they look like the sort of scummy Bristolian types you see at, like eco rally nonsense. They
No,
actually look like people who have had to take time out of a working day or some other thing that they do to actually be there and hold up a banner and say, I don't like immigration.
yes, I would also say that they don't look like glowy types either.
No.
Which is again, a lot of this is actual grassroots stuff. It's people doing very low-level protests outside immigration centres. It's people doing very low level, what would be considered very low level activism. There's a lot of people who would just be considered like wackos, like Piers Corbyn, things like that. They're including in here as well, and trying to kind of pork barrel it all together. This is one of, I think, the I think they actually go on to talk about the big tent, when it
Yes.
talks about court and the conspiracists. They make it even more clear that they are very unhappy that there has been a very loose association of people who have checked out of the narrative.
Well,
And
it gets kind of funny because they then start to bring in even people like, get pictures like James Dalrymple here. James Dalrymple was a, a major mainstream newspaper writer for decades, probably. I don't know exactly how many years, but he's now lumped in with like all the, as you're saying, everything from sovereign citizens or rights groups to ethno-nationalists to anti-immigration to UKIP to all these different groups, and we're all just getting lumped in. I also find it very funny that this photo was credited to the Mises Institute of Canada.
yes, that's kind of funny. He must have been on some like Mises stream. There's a Mises
Well,
Institute of
I was gonna
Canada.
say that picture must be from years ago because he's not got that much hair anymore. I can tell you that
No, he
for.
doesn't. He's got a bit less hair these days. But yeah, someone
Oh
like
God, I
Dalrymple,
didn't
he's
even realize they mentioned the Sarah Everard murder in this.
yes, of course they do. It's part
Oh,
of the canon.
we also are the misogynist hate crimes. We've also witnessed two incidents of misogynist murders. Jack Davison, who killed five people in Plymouth, had an interest in the incel culture. And Daniel Hussein stabbed to death two sisters in North London in a supposed demonic pact. The fuck? To do with like reading Spengler or Carlyle or something like that.
Again, like I said, this is all very kitchen sink, but it's all incredibly laser focused on the mainstream narrative. It's very, very laser focused on, right below where they got Dalrymple, they got people like David Icke and things like that.
I mean, look at the language here. Of course, one of the most worrying phenomena last year was the increasing normalization and mainstreaming of far-right individuals and narratives. The rise of several egregious examples highlights that this is a growing issue. And the cordon sanitaire that kept the far right beyond the pale is crumbling. Cordon sanitaire. What did Apostolic Majesty write this? I've never seen that term before in my life up until he used it the other week.
That's maybe they've been reading certain things and their language has made it in there, but it's yeah, again, a lot of this is it's bizarrely phrased and bizarrely framed. They are very clearly delineating the people that they consider as even like the normal end of Beyond the Pale, like a Delingpole, who's good, who does get it. And it's and they're trying to staple them to the again the David Icke's and they even mentioned the BMP in this, which hasn't been a thing for over a decade. Like, the BMP is not a thing. Nobody even in leftist circles thinks about the BMP anymore. It was a spent force, 15 years ago. And to drag it up here is again the tone of this. I don't know if it's deliberate or not. Is almost desperation. There's almost a sense that there is a crumbling narrative, and they're desperately trying to beg people to come back to it. It's
Oh,
like
I forget. It
great.
even goes on to bloody GB. We're seeing the same play out with so-called culture wars, which are driven primarily by the media outlets such as GB News, The Spectator, and The Telegraph. The concept of political correctness is silencing normal opinion, and white men are being adversely affected by positive discrimination in gender politics, not only taps into many traditional far-right narratives, but gives them a much larger audience with which to engage.
It's again it's interesting how they're criticizing the Telegraph, GB News, and the Spectator. Because those are again very very mainstream. They're criticizing for very specific reasons, and they're not trying to again staple them to the Tory Party.
Well, I think the only part down here that really mentions it, other than the Boris Johnson section, is well, it's important to focus on the specific dangers of the far right. These have to be understood in the context of some of the policies and statements put out by the Conservative government. There's a deeply troubling track record of echoing or even repeating such rhetoric. Worryingly, this is now manifest in a series of pieces of legislation that together advance a radical right agenda. Belief in and support for our democratic system is weaker than many imagine. I wish.
It is trying to like nudge, like I said, it's extremely hands off and extremely kids glove on that. It pays lip service to criticizing the Tory Party, like very obviously. It's almost like they realized it wasn't there and had to put bits of it in. It's very afterthought. There's some great little bits in here though. There's obviously the normal racism stuff. Where they're talking about GB News, if you scroll down a bit, it says. There's a whole thing with someone wearing a mask saying racism is a virus, which is a funny visual.
Where is it? Is
That's
this
page
the
22.
page 22?
Yes, in the document there.
I
It's
do
just a
forget how
funny.
long this thing is. Racism is a virus.
Yes.
It might be to you.
There. It's a lot of the lot of the rhetoric like that.
Yeah,
It's
the section here, a lot of this is just their stats on, we asked brown people who have been told day in, day out that the world is racist and it's leaned against them, whether or not they think the world is racist. And they said yes. How funny. Who'd have
Yes.
thunk it?
We got people who it is in their interest to signal this way, to signal this way. Isn't that amazing? I think the bit that I found most interesting next was page 41, where it talks about the cabal. Because that again is an amazing little bit. Because they start to go into a lot of the anti-lockdown stuff here.
Oh
It
wait, there
starts
was
to
a
get
section I found really funny, and I can't remember if it's in the transcript or not, but I took a screenshot of it. So I'll wait till you've said your thing, but I just found it really funny that it was a sentence that they could write and not then go back and read and see the issue with what they've written. God, what is this? Is this all the anti-vax protests and confronting the cabal?
Yes,
There's Piers
it's
Corbyn.
it's the bit where it just says the cabal in big letters there. But Cabal does prevail, as people are saying in chat. But yeah, the online alienation, sorry, the radicalization of sections of the anti-vaccine milieu stems in part from its toxic online environment. Blah 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 talks about alternatives, but where it goes on to use some of the language I was mentioning earlier is that little quote there. It is, I think, the s third or fourth use of the term elites, because the truth seeker section here, it
Yes.
says followers share a populist worldview and an outside identity that posits them as heroic. It repeats this again. This phrase is brought back again. Posits them as heroic truth seekers standing against a sinister elite. It's dehumanization of violent language. It talks about highly emotive narratives raise the stakes of their struggle to a spiritual war between good and evil. literal Satanists and things like that. Talking about Telegram and Telegram groups. And
Yes.
I guess that's what they're afraid of. They're afraid of it. Hilariously, that they spend this entire time positing what they're saying is an existential struggle between good and evil.
I'm gonna, for example, one noticeable theme in many such online spaces is that of a coming day of judgment, often in the form of Nuremberg-style trial and the subsequent execution of perceived perpetrators. They stole 2 years from the entire planet and mandated a lethal injection. The people on TV need to hang, wrote one member of a Birmingham-based Telegram group. I don't know who you are, Birmingham-based Telegram man, but I wink, wink, nudge, nudge, disavow
The
what you have said.
Birmingham-based Telegram group, very in Minecraft, but no, they seem, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in here that does seem to inspire genuine fear. I did you find that bit you were looking for,
Oh
or
yeah,
shall we keep going through?
I've got it. I haven't found it in the document, but I've got it on my phone. I just like the fact that they wrote the sentence, "While hate crimes against transgender people have always existed, the 400% recent increase in coverage of trans issues in UK press and toxic debates in the mainstream have contributed to a wider societal division on trans issues." So, because you talked about it more and you forced the issue down people's throats, they reacted to it. Like, I don't understand how someone could write that sentence and not understand what they're implicitly suggesting there, which is that the public just rejects the idea wholesale.
Well, there's a very telling phrase here which will come up again. It says Telegram hosts countless public channels and private chat groups that promote various conspiracy theories,
Sorry, what bit is
ideologies, and
this?
campaigns. It's in the Cabal bit, just at the top there. Still, so
All right.
many of which are locally focused. The issue of localism comes up in this multiple times,
Yes, I
and the
noticed that
idea
as
that
well.
people are campaigning on local issues again seems to be one of these areas that scares them, because localism and local activism is mentioned multiple times in this. In fact, the
Well,
word, again, I keep searching for stuff. The word local is mentioned 78 times in this document. They talk about local resentment and antagonism. They talk about local groupings, local elections, local politics. They seem very worried about how a lot of people have realized that they may not be able to win on a national level, but if they can do what people in Florida in the US have started doing and start short-circuiting school boards and all these small elections where people actually can make a difference, and that can actually flood in and pick an issue and overcome what is a relatively weak power structure, that they can actually accomplish something. And that is a very strong theme in this document as well.
No, I'm continuing on to the courting the conspiracists section, which you know starting to get folk like Nick Griffin showing up. Yeah, here you go. The UK's loose anti-vaccine movement is a big tent made up of individuals from across the political spectrum and lacks ideological and organisation structure, rendering it vulnerable to advances from the far right.
Yeah, individuals Differing beliefs have often been able to find common ground in a shared populist worldview and the outsider identity, downplaying or dismissing traditional left-right political distinctions as artificial divides imposed by elites. It's like they're saying the truth and then being like, "Isn't this terrible?"
Yeah.
Like, hey, these people aren't divided by the political puppet show that's being put on. We need to go get them. These people are terrible. Yeah. They've talked about Nick Griffin, who's again completely irrelevant. I haven't heard of him re-emerging at all in the last 24 months, but here he is apparently as this old boogeyman they have to drag out, because apart from people like Piers Corbyn, they really can't find that many
That's a
figures.
really unflattering picture of Mark Collar. He looks like he's on day release.
Yes, that is quite a bad picture. Again, they bring out Mark Collette, they bring out a lot of the patriotic alternative, Identity Europa, stuff like that. It's all starts to get very boilerplate down here. But it does talk about the fact that all these different movements, really, all these different groups, all these different
See,
idea gatherings have.
I will tell you one thing I know, which I find very interesting, because this shows that they don't actually know what was going on. The Antonio Foundation in Germany, the spread of COVID-19 conspiracy theories has indeed opened new paths towards Jew hatred and Holocaust denial. This is due in part to the deep-rooted anti-Semitism within many long-standing conspiratorial traditions, such as the New World Order, which have been revitalized during the pandemic. This is not true, because all the people who are like really, really red-pilled on Zog don't care about the vaccine. They don't really care about Agenda 2030, and you think things like the World Health Organization are either fake and gay and don't have any power, or are entities of Zog.
Yes.
So they like to them it doesn't matter, and I don't know if it kind of shows that like this is very much a surface glance that these people have taken, and I think that's maybe the only reason they've been able to fit so much into the report they've done this year, is that so much of it is just, up until the point where it gets to the stuff that they need to say to perform the role they need to perform. It's otherwise just surface level garbage. As you said, there's not very much to it up until these very interesting points where it doesn't make sense for why the organization it's proposed to be would write that.
Yes, again, there's these little tidbits here that pushback is understood in an attempt by elites to suppress forbidden knowledge. There's I think everywhere when it mentions the elites is just weirdly masked off, because like I said, just the amount of defense being done here by a supposedly leftist organization for the global elite. As a concept, to do this debunking, to come out and say, look, the people who criticize the elite class are the hate class. They are the hate people. They are who make up, and that is their unifying principle, that they hate the elite. So if you see someone who hates the elite, they're part of one of these hate groups.
Yeah. I mean, again, another point here, they're talking about hoping to be a beak as act as a beacon. PA produced anti-vaccine leaflets and actively canvassed anti-lockdown demonstrations across the UK. Not necessarily true. It took them about 18 months to start doing that. There was a lot more groups that joined on and tagged along first,
Yes.
who did actually become sort of beacons, as it were, for demonstrations and whatever else when they were taking place. If you look at, I mean, and stuff I briefly get involved with in 2020, it was very much lots of disparate small protest groups in lots of
Yes,
different places.
most of them were first-time protesters. Not to out anybody, I know my boss where I work was quite heavily involved in some of the anti-lockdown stuff, and he'd never done anything like that before. There's a lot of very disparate people. A lot of them were business people as well who've been affected by this. They'd seen how destructive this was, and they just wanted to do something. And that's partly why it was so disorganized, so ramshackle. There was a lot of widespread feeling,
It's just
but not very joined up.
knowing what I know about the beliefs of the people who organize Patriotic Alternative, they had no interest in being anti-lockdown. You thought it was a
No.
non-issue because most of them weren't sort of woke on it in the way that people of our circle maybe more are.
Well, if we go down to page 52 here, it once again, it mentions a different polling number here. It says conspiracy belief polling. It says worrying numbers now believe many of the main conspiracy theories that have been circulated throughout the pandemic. A worrying number of people have seen and believe many of the main conspiracy theories that have been circulated over the last 2 years. Again, this feels like somebody's trying to pad out homework. There's so much repetition in here. Polling by Hope Not Hate has discovered. It's their polling, so I guess it's probably not that reliable. But half of our respondents in our poll, 50%, have seen content over the past 12 months claiming that coronavirus is a bioweapon intentionally spread by the Chinese state, while 38% have seen or read content claiming that elites in Hollywood, governments, and the media, and other powerful organizations are secretly engaging in large scale. Again, that claim comes up, is repeated. I think this is the fifth time that's been repeated here, as a debunking, as something that isn't true. It's funny. It says 1 in 12 people say it is definitely true. That the elites have been doing this, and a further 28% think that it's probably true.
See, I wish this were actually the case. However, when you know as I know, if you go into the pub, especially after, I think, see if you go into the pub, especially on a weekday, folk are in from work. And they're having a few. Oh, the conversations that come out, the
Oh,
stuff that people know.
me and Mr. Goose, who I think is in the chat there, me and Mr. Goose were in the pub on Sunday, and he got up to pee and he missed it. But some guy had an incredibly like red pilled, very loud thing about how basically it sounded like an Alex Jones, basically calling everyone who was in charge psychotic killers, and how he didn't believe anything coming out of Ukraine, and how it was the same people who sold the pandemic stuff, and about how he believed that these people were all pedophiles anyway, and that he hopes they all fucking burn. It's just getting very animated in the pub, and he was, I don't know, it was very concise and very good, and I wish I could have shaken his hand, but they seemed we asked them about the beer as a bit of an opener, but they seemed a little bit skittish about talking, so we didn't want to autism them further. There's a great one here where it says over half,
Yeah, that's the one I
52%
was
of
about to
18 to
say.
24-year-olds definitely or probably believe the elites Hollywood and the child trafficking of the elite stuff. Apparently 52% of Zoomers think that, which I don't think is true. God, I wish it was true.
I reckon it's probably a larger number than people would expect.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I don't know, I came onto that stuff, not necessarily specifically that narrative, but some of the conspiracy stuff, and not like the junk, but the more credible, quote unquote, aspects of it. Relatively young and talking to people about it, and they would just be like, "Yeah, that makes sense."
Well,
So, who knows? Maybe we're just so there's some sort of just like spiritual separation, and Zoomers are just kind of like in some sort of subconscious way aware of the fact that it is all actually that bad, so we just kind of accept its face value.
Again, it says that men are more likely to believe in conspiracy theories than women, but the only exception being the claim that elites in Hollywood, governments, and media. It says this phrase like 10 times,
Is
and
that the
it's
con
yeah.
that's like all the like anti-COVID like mum groups and that, which are hilarious when you go and talk to them.
Media, and they'll ask about it, where similar numbers, basically, a lot of people are going, you dirty, dirty nonsense, we know what you've been doing.
No, half the Vanguard's gonna be bloody dinner ladies and bus drivers and that if we keep at it.
I mean, they are the people who keep the country running, so what are you gonna do without the bus drivers?
God, they've even got the whole graph breakdown as well. That's brilliant. See, just
Yeah, they
posting
do.
these on like Twitter as their own as like out of context images would just be great.
It would be. We need to find this 52%. We need to give them some literature. Coronavirus is a bioweapon. 50%, yes.
Yeah, and
At
then
least not.
I mean, I don't know, maybe it's worth mentioning or not. There is this brief section of fake union playing on fears. Matthew Collins discovers the conspiracy theorists and far right politicians behind the Workers of England Union. Now, we have a mutual friend who has been helped out by these people, and I will say no more to that. However, these are people we actually asked to come to Nomos, and still haven't had a response yet, admittedly. I'm not going to go over the stuff that's in here because there's basically no point, and I'll just tell you what they do anyway, because I think that they are important people in the long run for actually constructing any form of organization amongst ourselves. Essentially, they will back you if an HR organization wants to pap you out for some form of politically correct nonsense. And they don't do it
Yes.
as an explicitly political thing. They argue it all through legislation. They show that a lot of the PC stuff isn't actually legislation. It's more just bulked up by lots of institutional threats, which makes most people not want to challenge it anyway. However, they've got a couple of really clever law guys who seem to have a bit of a knack for being able to shoot it all down. So it's no wonder that they dedicate a page and a bit to them and then tie them into journalists and all sorts.
Yeah, because they're coming after it's Nigel Marchman, aka the little veteran, who like he isn't, he is ex-forces. Oh yeah, and again they got journalists in scare quotes there. Who's behind it all?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know? It's like a
Again, it's
really bad
very.
PNG job on that dude's hair. He
Yeah,
looks like
that's.
a Lego man or
God, the
something.
side of his face. Look at the
Oh,
side of his
that
face. They've cut it out so badly. Please.
one's even worse, I. He
Change your tool shapes, for goodness sake.
didn't have enough polygons.
Oh my goodness. The
Because
magic wand tool
look
is
how
right there.
straight that dude's neck is under like the
Oh good lord.
either that or he's like buff as hell and has no neck, but he doesn't look it. Goose is saying in the chat, don't all unions corrupt over time. Remember, not Robert Conquest, but oh, who's the other guy that came up with it before him?
I'm not sure.
The whole, if any institution isn't explicitly right wing from the
Right
get-go, then
wing,
it will
yeah.
become left wing. Yeah, because that's
Yes.
always attributed to Robert Conquest, but I'm pretty sure someone British conservative writer wrote it beforehand, and I can't quite remember his name at the moment.
Yeah, the last part of this is just so it's so patronizing. Says the WEU is part of a concerted conspiracy to confuse workers, bully vulnerable care home employees, as well as working to undermine the sanctity of both journalism and the trade union movement.
Oofed.
It is no surprise that it is not a member affiliate of the TUC, where it would be open to scrutiny, regulation, and proper legal and employment training. Instead of inconvenient or unpalatable facts, it relies upon the strength of fear and conspiracy, and sadly, the patronage of racists. They're
Well,
very not happy with you having, with there being independent unions.
it's funny that they mentioned care homes, as this is kind of like a. It's kind of like a. It's a slightly smaller issue that you don't really get much discussion about. But as far as I am aware, there has been a number of situations where, because of the way care homes now, they will get workers from overseas and they will hire
Yeah.
directly from Germany. And because they do that, they don't have to do the same legal checks. So what happens
No.
is people who are just scumbags will fake some documents in Germany and take a care home job here and then abuse the other care home workers. And then the care home workers run to their union, and because the union's obviously tied up with the organisation that runs all the care homes, they just say, no, you deal with it.
Yeah. That's very common. There's also quite common as well that the elderly people are abusing care homes by essentially dingy doctors who have these fake German, yeah, the German certificates especially are quite the common ones. So yes, it's just I'm going through it here and trying to find the other mentions of the stuff that I was looking for.
Sorry, yes, it's Sullivan's Law. That's what it's called.
Yes.
All organizations that are not expressly right wing will over time become left wing. There we go.
Yes.
Yeah, then you start to get into the profiles of different folk, David Icke, Richie Allen, and they've got all their prospects for 2022. What's 2022? They're putting big money on Ike getting into Jew hatred. They must run. I bet you they run bets. So today, or not today, but this quarter is the David Ike Zionist, or not anti-Zion, or sorry, anti-Zionist bull market quarter. See, I don't. Some of these people I don't even know though, and they seem to be purporting them as big characters. I mean, obviously I've heard of Piers Corbyn, but Katie Shirimani,
They're
Shemirani.
all, a lot of them are all like the clown people who are always paraded out at every movement to try and discredit it, basically.
Despite being permanently struck off the Nursing and Midwifery Council register last year in April, Shemirani launched the British Nursing Alliance alongside Kevin Corbett for qualified nurses to speak out against the supposed COVID conspiracy. I don't know, she might actually be an alright person because that sounds like a good thing. However, I don't like the fact that she's in Nuremberg trials. Boo! The bloody the Nuremberg paradigm.
Well,
Oh,
there's an interesting part here. So I'm trying to find something there. Where they start talking about Ukraine and like the whole.
can we quickly go over the tech and far right bit first, just so we don't miss out? Because I think there's
Oh, sure, yes.
just the it's them just talking about deplatforming and blah blah blah. But it's the fact that they're now focusing on the ways that people have got out of. Essentially, censorship or cancel culture or whatever. People have finally worked around it in some sense by building their own platforms, and their first thing to do is like, right, we need to, we're dedicating pages to these. I mean, they even
Yeah.
go to, there's the picture of the Fed Getter Man. Do not trust.
No.
Like,
There's a question here from Armory Blaine saying, why do you think the report doesn't profile people like Keith, AA, BAP, etc., but does for Morgoth, Unwashed, DOA, etc.? They will surely be aware of these spheres. I honestly don't.
well,
Either
BAP,
they have an agenda.
BAP probably because he's, I think he's American, is he not? Or,
Yes, I
I mean,
think
I
he
think
is.
the focus here is British. Keith Woods, I'm not too sure. I have questions on that one, but that one will remain unasked. As for AA, I don't know. I mean, he's probably just going to be annoyed the fact that we've mentioned our name, or his name, sorry, on this stream whilst talking about it, because who knows, maybe the Hope Not Hate people will catch us and get raging that we've called it Cope Not Hate.
Maybe.
This is how we definitely guarantee our slot in it next year. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, they got BitChute, Gab, Parler, despite the fact that Parler was a complete Fed op.
Yeah, Parler was a complete failure as well. Parler's basically gone.
Platform faced a crisis following the riot in Washington, D.C. on January 6 last year. They didn't call it the insurrection, that's interesting. Which had
Yes.
been extensively trailed and promoted in advance on Parler. Interesting.
And very interesting. Well, we could maybe get into who they do and don't cover here.
Are you want to talk in the alt tech section? Or you want to go to the Ukraine stuff?
I don't know. I was thinking that there's a very specific bit I want to talk about in the Ukraine stuff. Because there's a lot of it is very boilerplate, but
Sorry, all the people watching this as I just sort of scroll by. Oh yeah,
yes.
these are all the dangerous Nazi terrorists, by the way. A 16-year-old boy who was a member of the British Hand was convicted for disseminating a terrorist publication called the White Resistance Manual. It's all just children and Spergs.
Yeah. They're basically like jumping at shadows. This is the best that they can muster. There's huge police resources put towards this, and this is the best they can find.
And 'cause I don't know if he's in here, but is it like the it was like the 16 or 17-year-old guy that got arrested and nearly ended up doing time just for leafleting and stuff like that? It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Sorry,
There's
yes,
all kinds of them like that, though.
we'll get into the Ukraine section. We'll watch them. We'll watch the mental gymnastics.
Well, they start to talk about the international Nazi fringe, and it gets especially interesting because these are the only eight mentions of the term Azov in this entire document. It says, however, staunch pro-Russian views are far from uniform among the extreme right. While many have expressed dismay at this conflict between white nations blaming Putin's actions on a Jewish scheme, one Nazi on the messaging app Telegram claimed that this war is so fucking stupid. Whenever you see two white nations at war with each other, you'll find the Jews sitting at the top.
No
Another claimed that
comment.
Ukrainian President Zelensky and the other Jews who provoked the war are going to hide in Poland, while the nationalist-minded white Ukrainians spend themselves in a probably futile resistance against Russian forces. This is how it always is. Whites die, Jews hide. While deriding the Ukrainian establishment, especially Zelensky, many international Nazi and fascist groups have backed Ukrainian forces, primarily on the basis of right to independence and self-determination, and thrown their support behind the fascist militia Azov Battalion, which has fought against Russian-backed forces since 2014 and has long been admired by fascists around the globe. The group was described by on one Telegram channel as some of the toughest and proudest Aryan men alive. This is our folk. We need to they need our support.
That's
Putin's claim
I was
that
gonna say
this,
these
sorry.
are the tough, proud Aryan men carrying Israeli arms.
Yes, it kind of gets into that. Putin's claim that his special military operation is part of aims to denazify Ukraine, a ludicrous claim given the Ukraine's president is Jewish and lost family in the Holocaust. God, this lays it on thick, has fortified his position for some. In the words of one American Nazi, Putin's official reasoning for Ukraine, invading Ukraine is demilitarization and denazification. So again, if you're a National Socialist, you support Putin, is literally invading a country with a listed reason of destroying National Socialists at the Azov Battalion. Fascist ashes towards Azov have been complicated by allegations that Israel has supplied the group with arms, leading some within the conspiratorially minded far-right extremes to view the group as part of a Jewish agenda, splitting the formerly widespread support of the group. One fascist wrote, in hope that Russian forces are wiping out the Azov Jews. Despite this, some support for the Azov remains among the international extreme fringes. In chat groups associated with the Misanthropic Division, International Azov Support and Recruitment Group, small numbers of individuals have been discussed joining the Azov and fighting the ongoing plan effect. However, Azov has scaled back international recruitment efforts in recent years due to negative publicity it's garnered. Basically, what they're doing here is trying to almost like soft rehabilitate the Azov Battalion by saying that the Nazis are divided on them and that even the Nazis don't like these guys, so maybe they're not what you think they are. They're also trying to downplay them and say that they've scaled back and there's
Well,
less support and
we now know on like the when you if you were to like graph up, who's the more evil people? Is it our Nazis or their Nazis? That
yeah.
providing their Nazis are fighting for American NATO interests, then they're the good folk.
They're mostly talking about, I guess this is a UK-based thing, but they're mostly talking about the negatives of the Azov Battalion being how they are perceived by the enemy at home, by our Nazis, as it were. It's a very interesting dynamic to witness them do this, because it, like I said, it does almost seem to be a soft attempt at rehabilitation or downplaying, because we've
Well,
seen it with a lot of different like factions, quote unquote, in this information
I
warfare.
was gonna say, there's a point Aidan Paladin's actually making a chat there that they aren't mentioning the other nationalist Ukrainian groups that have been fighting Russian
No.
forces that aren't backed by the US State Department.
No, they're not. They're specifically trying to head off, I think, criticism for the Azov stuff in this. Poorly, I would say. It's it seems very muddled, and again, it's something that's very telling about this document that you have paragraphs like this in which they basically go on to say that the worst thing about the Azov Battalion is that the bad Nazis support them, and oh, by the way, the bad Nazis are split, so maybe they're not so bad.
We'll see that, and then he dives straight into, conspiracy theorists respond to Ukraine. And they go right into the stuff that we talked about on stream on Thursday and also the previous
Yes.
week. Others are stridently partisan, positioning the Ukrainian establishment and especially President Volodymyr Zelensky as stooges of globalist plot. One claim circulated on Telegram that George Soros, long portrayed as a sinister global puppeteer into various conspiracy theories, helped Zelensky become president by brainwashing the country. Others claim the country is in the grip of the Rothschild family. Some of that might not be true, but Volodymyr Zelensky is the stooge of a globalist plot. I mean, that's literally his job.
What they don't mention there is the fact that he was imposed essentially after a coup.
Mm.
He is the product of a coup in which Eastern Ukraine and, you know, especially Crimea was no longer involved in Ukraine's elections because they de facto weren't part of the country anymore.
Mm.
They talk about, you know, a list of figures who support Ukraine, such as George Bush, Joe Biden, George Soros, Hillary Clinton, Roman Abramovich, and asks, now do you understand? This paragraph is my favorite because I don't know what they're trying to accomplish by saying this, because this is just like honest to God batshittery that they would put this in here and expect people to read it and not go, what? Because they say some conspiracy theorists have adopted a broad anti-elite view of the conflict. As one large channel on the meshing at Telegram, popular among conspiratorial communities, states, it's the global war against you. To the extent that wars are being waged between the elites, they are only being waged to determine which group of elites gets to rule over you and in what way. A choice between two wings of the same bird of prey is no choice at all. That could almost... Thing is, that could be a statement that a Marxist would say.
No, I get what you're saying.
That could very easily be any...
That's
power politics.
It's Marxist
leftist.
Leninism.
Yes. That could come straight out of a student union where this is supposed to be aimed at, and yet we see it diving into the center of neoliberalism. This is, in the abstract, anti-revolutionary rhetoric. This isn't the abstract. Again, anti-Marxist-Leninist rhetoric. If you look at it, if this was somebody speaking from a leftwards perspective, they could say the exact same thing. There's no mention of race in this. There's no mention of the Jews in this. There's no mention of immigrants in this. There's no mention of any of the typical hate signifiers here.
Mm.
All that this person is saying is that they view this as a war between elites in which the people are the pawns and the victims. And it's quite amazing that they would say that these hateful people have adopted a broad anti-elite view and then just quote that, because that could come from anywhere on the supposed political spectrum.
I've just noted the next slide, mainstream hate. Is that a bottle of red pills? Is that what that's supposed to be?
Yes, it is a bottle of red pills.
Oh, they're memeing.
They're trying to meme, yes.
They're trying. Mainstream poison, which is then basically talking about like surface level fake culture war stuff that's completely gay.
They're also tacitly admitting and saying here that the conservatives are mainstream politics.
Yes.
That what they are saying here is that the conservatives, apart from this fringe, we agree with. It's what's not said here, which is fascinating. It is very much this is like the radical centrist position, as it were. This is the right. Middle of the Overton window.
See,
really.
It's desperate as well. I mean, you've got the Priti Patel won't take the knee, and she's saying it all amounts to gesture politics. And then you've got a couple of disaffected Tory MPs that they wouldn't really care to give much power to anyway, who are thrown and all on the pile. And then Michael Gove, they're saying that. Who is Secretary of State for Levelling Up, has appointed Paul Collier as an advisor. The Oxford University professor once claimed that immigration has made Indigenous people a minority in London, even though 63% of Londoners were born there. Just because 63% of people in London were born in London doesn't mean they're British.
Yes. Words have power. They talk about the whole thing where Johnson and all this attempt to survive stepped very briefly outside of
yes.
what is acceptable political rhetoric, in which he very rightly stated that Keir Starmer was a dirty, dirty nonce protector, and that his entire job and his entire cachet within the establishment is based on the fact that he allowed the Savile stuff to die with Savile.
Well, you've got another bit here. For example, in 2019, while addressing a meeting of the Eurosceptic Brewers Group, the Conservative MP and now Attorney General Sulia Braverman made use of the phrase "cultural Marxism." Later in 2020, a group of 28 Tory MPs and peers published a letter in the Telegraph that referred to cultural Marxist dogma. So-called cultural Marx, so-called, is a theory that asserts that the left, openly supposedly led by Jews, has been engaged in a decades-long plot to undermine and overthrow traditional Western values by infiltrating cultural institutions and brainwashing populations. Braverman's words and that of other Conservative MPs showed how a far-right anti-Semitic conspiracy theory could break out of the confines of extremist use and gain traction among parliamentarians. I mean, this is almost bordering on, you know, the therapeutism that Gottfried and
Yes,
Francis talk about, you know,
it
that
is.
they've got to, you know, mold out the anti-Semitism, the bad parts, the unhealthy aspects of the specifically the Conservative Party.
Yes, it is. It's very much saying they're not criticizing them as a matter of policy. They're not saying that they are a wholly bad force. What they're doing is they're listing all of what they consider as their non-conforming aspects. They're saying that apart from these are the things we take issue with, everything else is fine. And a lot of it is rhetoric, a lot of it is toes over the line, rather than going in and saying blanket policy, rather than, you're right, what this doesn't mention is austerity, what this doesn't mention is, you know, danger to our NHS, what this doesn't mention is, you know, the party of the rich, what this doesn't mention is essentially vote Labour.
I mean, there's no
It
mentioning.
is.
I mean, I think was it the what paper was it? The Telegraph again. Have you noticed there's no
Yeah.
mention of the Times?
No, there's no mention of the Daily Mail.
No, I don't think there is. There's that phrase bloody cordon sanitaire again.
Yeah.
Platforming hate. Yeah, they're again dunking the Spectator in. For far right talking points and columnists like Tacky, Rod Liddell, and James Danable. Rod Liddell's a bloody social democrat. He's not a far right.
No.
That's
There's
kind
a
of
lot of.
funny. That's I've recently read through Caleb Maupin's book, Bread Tube Serves Us, How Bread Tube Serves Imperialism, and he discusses this very weird aspect that hardcore, you know, social democrats, someone like a Rod Liddell. Actually get tied in with us lot.
Yes. It's very bizarre. Again, it's scattershot, but it's everyone who is not towing the line. It's like they fired a shotgun into what they would consider as the anti-establishment part of Britain. And everyone is caught up in this. Again, they go after GB News, they talk about the Reclaim Party, they talk about, you know, the remnants of the Brexit Party, the Heritage Party, the remnants of UKIP, Reform UK, which again is very mainstreamed. All of this stuff is incredibly mild,
Is Peter
and they
Hitchens anywhere in this? I don't think he is he? Or is he like too easy a
no, he's
target?
not. He's not in any of this.
Is he again mention, you know, some of the most striking examples of semi-mainstream figure platforming fascists this year came via the broadcast of regular Spectator columnist Dalrymple. Or sorry, former Breitbart London executive editor James Dalrymple. Dalrymple describes himself as having been red-pilled by the pandemic, a process which appeared to have involved him embracing increasingly extreme conspiracy theories and their politically extreme opponents. Dalrymple's podcast has hosted unsavory guests since it launched in 2019, with the fringe race scientist Edward Dutton among his earlier guests, but a rising number of guests have associated with the traditional far right. Have appeared on the show in the past year. The most extreme of his recent guests was Morgoth, an anonymous blogger and video producer from North Tyneside, whose offerings combine pseudo-intellectual conspiracy theories with vicious racism, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia.
Is in there. There we go. I hope Morgoth's in the chat. There, we found.
Dalrymple offered Morgoth an embarrassingly craven introduction, describing him as one of the smartest people on the planet and praising him for having been much further down the rabbit hole than me at an earlier stage. Other guests during 2021 include QAnon promoter Charlie Ward, neo-reactionary Ralph Missalamny. I think I know who that might actually be. And then patriotic alternative member Josh, aka Richard Lionheart. Dalrymple's hand of friendship towards the established far right was reciprocated in December with his own appearance on the Millennial series of live stream interviews by Colin Robertson. That was actually a very good stream. It was
Yes,
very
actually, it
funny.
was.
I think we ended up discussing it at one point, the fact that it was kind of funny to see him go like full like Sutton pilled on the events of World War II and the Millennial Wars is
Yes.
sitting there like what?
The best thing about the whole millennial thing was it was just Millennial Will showing how out of touch he was with much of it.
Yeah. I don't
That
think
was kind of
necessarily out of
funny.
touch, but more pacing himself as he got back into stuff.
Yeah. Morgoth's review. Because they have a whole section on Morgoth here.
I know there's I think the one on Daughter Albion's next to that as well.
Yes,
Hyper,
it
yeah, you got
is.
hyper local politics, new channels.
Yes, you should talk about this bit because this bit again is fascinating
Well,
because they're very much
this is
about
what
having
we did
localism.
the last Nomos event on.
Yes, it is basically. If you want to.
Many populist right and far right elements have withdrawn from politics or pursued non-electoral forms of activism online or on the streets. Others have joined mainstream parties, in particular Boris Johnson Conservatives. But make sure they mention Boris there, not just Conservatives.
Yeah.
However, sorry, or launched their own minor parties with national ambitions. However, some have continued to participate in electoral politics by standing as independents or by joining or founding hyper-local parties focused on a specific region or town. The organised far right in the UK remains in the electoral wilderness. Then why are you so scared? But while the climate has shifted, the anger and dissatisfaction that was once exploited by the BNP and UKIP has not simply disappeared. Small, locally focused electoral efforts play an important role in our political system, but in some cases they have provided new channels for divisive politics, and the means by which a handful of far-right elements have won council seats in recent elections. I mean, this is them getting to the point where maybe they are somewhat scared on that front, because
Yes.
what would they do about, some smaller town in Britain essentially having an entryism problem where, like, the people that they think of as far right, and actually being able to control some of like the local magistrate's office and local bits of the police and the council, and basically enough people to turn around and tell the local MP fuck off.
Yeah, that's again, it's something that they seem to be framing as anyone who is disaffected with the political establishment, anyone who is a political outsider who attempts to enter even local politics to sort out problems that they perceive that are not recognized by the mainstream parties, that these people are a problem universally. Whatever the stance is on this, otherwise, that is the message being put across here, that we see that the message of this is that being disaffected is being hateful. Being an outsider is being hateful. This is just one big hand-wringing document saying, please, please, please,
God.
please, please don't give up on the political establishment.
I'm sorry, I just after a meeting of minds with the actor turned reactionary politician Lawrence Fox. No, he doesn't get to be called a reactionary. That's no.
No.
Just was that just because he smokes rollies? Is that it? He's a bit grungy and smokes rollies. Must be a reactionary. They've got other, and then all of a sudden they just throw in the fascist National Front and its successor, the BNP. But yeah, what does that have to do with Lawrence Fox?
Well, they talk about, again, Daughter of Albion's in here, Iconoclast is in here, Absolute State of Britain, who I don't really interact with, is in here. Who else is in here? There's not, again, not a lot of people, scum media, who doesn't really.
Oh, is that the unwashed dude? But I always say that it starts to get into the profile section later on. I mean,
Edward
there's
Dutton's in here.
yeah, there's basically a lot of the folk we sort of know or kind of half adjacently talk with or hang around with in some way, shape, or form. And there's more stuff in GB News, far right out and about. See, there is one point I want to make on some of this stuff, where you got these groups like White Stag, and their whole thing is like being a fitness group, fight degeneracy through honor, tradition, and brotherhood.
Yeah.
There's other parts of this where they're talking about a patriotic alternative and these other groups. Now, as much as these groups are associated with like fascist ideas and like wearing skull masks and that, much of that is just them being provocative and, to be honest,
Yes.
just playing a bit of dress up and having a
It's
bit of fun.
also that's that also almost feels like a Ram Ranch joke.
Yeah, the fact that like it's slightly over contrasted, it's got like too much noise.
Yeah, it's oversaturated, over contrasted, and it has like noise put on it. That's very Ram Ranch,
But
and
like
deliberately so.
these groups and some of the other groups they go on to mention, Ram looks like these young boys. Simmer down, Goose. Simmer down.
Dear.
None of these guys like Bosnian or Herzegovinian or whatever, so I don't think D would be into it, or Serbian for that matter. But a lot of these groups essentially serve as like escapism for young men who essentially find themselves alone in the modern world and cannot find themselves satisfied with media or video games or other masturbating or eating burgers. It's not cutting it. So they have to go find other people who have come across the same issue so that they can go and find something meaningful to do with themselves, as humans have done for thousands of years. But it's now that's evil. These people exist in a small group where they don't consume news from the verified sources. So they're able to actually build their own sort of in-group subculture and not give a shit and actually feel confident about non-conforming with progressive society. So they must all be neo-Nazis then. And I think that's why some of them, I can almost understand why a lot of them, even though they aren't interested or have no knowledge of the ideas of National Socialism or German idealism or whatever, because they're told they're it day in, day out. But they're like, well, bugger it, why not? Yeah, if you think I'm a Nazi, I'll be a Nazi. I mean, that's what happened to a lot of the
There's
punk stuff in the 70s and 80s, as you had
yes.
different music sort of culture groups that said, well, you guys all make angry music, and it's not about this and it's not about that, so you guys must be Nazis. And the punk people just decided, well, yeah, some of it, yeah, fuck it, we're Nazis.
There's two sections I want to go over before we finish here, because there's two very important bits towards the end of this, which really go like very, very mask off in their language about what this is really about, which is there's a section called The Rise of Strongman Politics, page 132, and there's a section also
Oh
called
God,
Undermine Democracy.
they've always got that image of Mark Collett standing to like the massive bird with a Nazi tattoo. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Then another banner drops. Wait, on the God. See, it's kind of funny because some of these pictures of like some of these different groups, I actually recognize some of these people. Just from knowing folk on Telegram, whatever else. I don't know. I would very much recommend that the people that are watching this stream at the moment, I know we've not been on, we've sort of skimmed some of this. I would go and have a look because it's at least interesting to see what they think, or at least what they're
I'll
willing to
put the link in
tell
the
us.
chat.
Yes,
There
or
you go.
at least what they're willing to tell us they think. Yeah, here you
Yeah.
go. You got more of the platforms, discussion groups, the traditional Britain group people, which I think you've done some stuff with before.
I
Identity
have
England
not. I've met
folk
some of them,
who
but
I have bumped into on Telegram, the local matters people I've seen on Twitter before. So these are all people that are, out and about, and they're not, you've got the Arctos people who publish books. There are none of these are massive people. Again, you've got the
no.
section of Millennial Woes, Morgoth, Dr. Albion, Iconoclast, as you went through them before. You were looking for, sorry, I'm scrolling through instead of just going, it was at page 132.
Yes, there's a section
Page
here
one
called
three.
"The Rise, the Dangerous Rise of Strongman Politics,"
Yeah, this is
and it's
under
just,
the democracy
oh,
under
there's,
strain section.
we just scroll past Sargon and the Tide Pod Eaters there, but
Yeah, I'll
that's again
just.
very boilerplate. There it is, "The Rise of Strongman Politics." It's all in the democracy under strain section here, but I'll just read these three paragraphs verbatim because they're quite amazing. But oh, for those wondering, yeah, this is the Hope Not Hate yearly hate report for those just joining us. I've just linked it. I just linked it in the chat, and it will be in the description. Since the 1970s, the British public has increasingly identified less and less with political parties. But over the past 2 years, growing opposition to the COVID-19 restrictions and more recently the Partygate scandal have fanned resentment towards a political elite that has whipped up throughout and after the EU referendum. While questioning the action of political representatives is not always a bad thing, the language here is amazing. It's like, trust your politician, trust your politician, trust the political class, trust your politician. Feelings of misrepresentation and voicelessness have increasingly found resonance in populist right narratives. These anti-elite framings of the elite against the people have further eroded ties between voters and political parties and increased the strain on liberal democracies, fueling the appeal of strongman politics. It's like, well, why is this happening?
It's
This is
the
happening because the ruling elite has taken a great big steamy shit all over the people continuously since the Second World War and before.
Not just that, there is also just the blatant call here for no, you're not allowed to do vanguardism. You know,
Yeah.
you've got to free the people towards equality and progress, comrade.
Yes, we. It's also that, like, you, if you believe that the elite class are corrupt and you try and work around their system, you are automatically evil. You are automatically hateful. And that, like, while questioning the action of politicians isn't always a bad thing, it's just like, who would look at the last 30 years of politics and say that, with the Iraq War. And all of the stuff that's happened in the modern era of British politics, like, who would actually go out to bat for the political class as this does very, very, very heavily? It's such a transparently disgusting attempt to say that you not believing in the establishment is evil. Anyway, damaged trust. Trust in political representatives and political system more broadly has long been an issue, but increasingly become the norm. For majority, politics is seen as a one-way street in our polling from late January this year. While the majority voiced having an interest in politics, only 10% said they feel like politicians listen to people like them. As for many local politicians, like, hugely disengaged from MPs in regards to their distance from voters. While the local view is slightly more positive, there is little difference in responses when people are asked if they feel they have a say in decisions taken in Parliament and at the local level. Just 16% say they do in Parliament, while 21% say they feel like they do in decisions on a local level. It basically goes on to say that, yeah, people's relationship with democracy has been tested, blah blah blah, and it basically ends with them saying that basically only like 5% believe that they have any effect on the system, or that they believe that politicians work for the public good. And yeah, our polling has shown this has impacted people's relationship with democracy more broadly, and this is all being framed as a bad thing. This is all being framed as, it's terrible for British society that people have lost faith in their politics and the political establishment and the process of democracy, rather than examining why that is. There is a complete lack of any examination or any even possibility that this could be justified
See,
and that people could be.
it's strange though, because the next section, when they continue on and undermining democracy, they don't
Yeah.
discuss the open and quite sort of, there's quite a lot of it now floating about there of very, happy to admit it as anti-democratic voices, such as ourselves,
Yeah.
who are putting out content that, is fundamentally questioning the entire system. I mean, maybe that's possibly the reason why some people maybe aren't centrally focused as much, because it would be harder to paint someone like us, or I don't know, someone maybe like A, as being a hateful individual when they're talking in really dense, complex political theory language.
That's part of how we survive here.
Yes, it is. That and making sure to remind everyone that we believe the nation of Israel was legitimate.
Of course, there's obviously no amount of aid that would be too much to send to Israel.
Yes, democracy in Israel now, real democracy. Yeah, I mean, and then the ending section is basically just a call to action. They literally use the phrase "a time for action, young people." But I don't know. We've got sort of 5 minutes left. Is there any other parts of this you're wanting to go
No,
over?
but it's just that they talk about undermining democracy, and the big linchpin of this is democracy. And what they talk about here is political mistrust and people not liking migration and the cost of living crisis and the fig leaf attempt by the Conservative government to have some form of like voter ID, as Scotland is moving towards like actual just like anyone can vote from the boat. They focus very much in on, again, Conservative Party legislation around voter ID here that they want to get rid of. They don't focus generally on people's, again, like you said, open disdain for democracy. They're very much just going into, in quite general terms, the fact that you need to buy into the system. The system of it is as it is ideal. The only things wrong with the system are the Conservative MPs stepping out of line, and everything else is completely outside the system and is abhorrent and needs to be gotten rid of.
It's also just kind of laughable that, asking for people to carry an acceptable form of ID is going to undermine democracy. You need to have, if people haven't already forged what they need to forge to vote anyway, it's not that much of an extra step. It's really not that difficult. But it's just
I
I
really
find it funny here that the focus is on that and not on the flourishing intellectual discussions of critiquing democracy that are happening time and time again on the
yes.
spaces that even we exist in times.
But the thing that I think hit me when reading this, I think it's the thing that hit you most as well, is that this is coming from a de facto, center right, mainstream right position.
Yes, it's very strange because it there is no beating about the bush that it is at least pretending to be a left-wing institution.
Yes. None of this really gives, apart from some of the very boilerplate identity politics stuff, which is very present in the mainstream wing of the Conservative Party anyway. Apart from that stuff, there are not many great appeals to the leftist activist class in this. This is very much targeted at what would be considered a center-right audience. This feels like them trying to patrol that kind of right edge of the Overton window and push people back, not into a form of far leftism, but in a form of establishment conservatism, really.
Yes. See, I don't know, you're just saying that the Overton window is shifting, right? I'm not necessarily sure if that's the case,
No.
because the people who are becoming red-pilled aren't consuming right-wing ideology. They may be appealing to things that we recognise as not left-wing, but I don't know if I would begin calling those people all quote-unquote right-wing. But I think that begins to get into the very point that they're discussing in that, or implicitly suggesting, is that people who are ostensibly right-wing have now created a bit of an intrigue amongst people who would maybe otherwise just vote for the Conservative Party and not think about it. Because those people who would do that are just about beginning to notice that it's not working anymore.
No, and it may have in fact never worked.
No, that's again a slightly deeper version of the same issue, but very much so.
Yes. The trying to think of what to end on here. Yeah, well, again, read the thing for yourself. It is very, very interesting the position this has come from, because again, it is an appeal, in my mind, from what I see, an appeal to mainstream conservatism.
Yes. Or establishmentism, anyway.
Yes, it is a pure appeal to establishmentism. And I think a lot of people who have been critiquing these organizations fundamentally misunderstand what they represent and fundamentally cannot engage the material they put out because all they do is look at the surface level stuff they're putting out on their own terms. I think some, you know, a critique of this 4 or 5 years ago would have been very different, even for
Yes.
me, I would say, than it is now, because it is very, very obvious that they are not even paying lip service to the supposed far leftism that they represent.
Yes, it's very much far left activism has separated off and become its own technique of political formulation. And
Yes.
it's now, you know, the methods of using that are now actually separated from the ideology itself.
Yes, it is. It is. As we've seen with the Ukraine conflict and the bizarre friend enemy things that are forming with that, it's pure rhetoric, pure propaganda, pure power, pure narrative, and it's not even trying to make ideological cohesive sense.
No.
Even less so than it has in the past. It is purely you will believe what you are told to believe, and we have laid the groundwork so you will do so. And what are you going to do about it otherwise? Because we now live in a world of the good Nazis and the bad Nazis. We live in a world of the good conspiracists and the bad conspiracists, the good conservatives and the bad conservatives. It's not the motivations that, you know, the anti-SJWs who cling on to the 2015 content would tell you it is.
No,
These
it's very
people
much
are
not.
not Marxists, and to call them Marxists is to fundamentally misunderstand what you're talking about. Anyway.
Should we cap it off there then, so we're not running on
Yes,
too
yes,
long?
yes.
That, and for the sake of a Murdoch related stratagem, I believe Apostolic Majesty, who I mentioned earlier on under that phrase, goes cordon sanitaire. I believe he's
Yes.
starting his Monday streams again, and it will have started a couple minutes ago. So for
Okay, shall I link him in the chat?
yeah,
What
if you
is
want.
he?
It should be just on either on his Twitter or on
Let
YouTube.
me see if I can find it. Apostolic Majesty, there he is. I don't. There he is. It's waiting for him. So I will actually link his channel here. If I can. Yes, there we go. We'll do a stream handoff then. There we go. We'll do a stream handoff to Apostolic Majesty. Tell him that Evelyn and Scrum sent you. If you
Yes.
do go over there, because I haven't. Oh, in fact, no, I have think I've caught his streams. They're usually pretty good. So,
Well, I believe as well, I need to go and check. I think Morgoth killed this in his Telegram channel, which reminds me, whilst I've got loads of people here still, more links in the chat, but please go and subscribe and follow the Telegram channel. I will at some point look into possibly making a slightly more group chat sort of one so people can comment on stuff. But it will at least be, again, another place where everything that we do is aggregated in some sense and also might just include me ranting on a Telegram, which is better than ranting on a Twitter because you don't get in as much trouble.
yes, anyway, thank you guys for coming. Thank you. I will double check to make sure I've not missed any donations, but I don't think I have. We will have our normal Thursday stream this week.
You sure?
Oh no, sorry, we may not have our normal Thursday stream this week, because I will most likely be traveling, barring any disasters. But
Yes, I think if we can come up with some idea over the weekend, me and you might do maybe another one again on Monday.
yes, although I'm actually thinking of putting a video out on Thursday. I'm thinking of recording something a bit shorter and maybe putting that out instead of the stream. So do look out for that.
Yeah, we could maybe do that during Wednesday or something.
That's what I was thinking. Yes. Have a good evening, and thank you to Morgoth for the shill. Nice to see everyone in chat, and we'll either see you in a pre-recorded format on Thursday, or we'll see you next week.
Bye.